let's look at how God has placed us on this planet. And let's look how God says, I want you to be with me forever. We know that God tells us that he created us for fellowship with him. He created us to be able to relate to him. He created us, he said, to love us. And he created you and me, each individual that God has created, with the ability to love him back. You have no excuse for not loving God. There is no reason for not loving God. Because God loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son. Okay, here we are, Christian. At a point in our life, we become convicted. Conviction by God is done by God, not man. The Holy Spirit of God enters us and convicts us. Convicts us of what? It convicts us that we as a human being, separate from God, have no hope. Convicts us of sin in our life. Yeah, but you know, I really haven't been that bad. Sin. The worst sin is sin. What we call the least sin is sin. And all God is saying to us is this. Look, I love you. And I have come to your heart to convict you of the truth of eternity. That conviction I give you is I tell each one, Christian, I know you want sometimes to get it through the hard head of someone you love so much. You want to hit them with the Bible and you want to unscrew their head and stick the truth in there. Doesn't work. If the Holy Spirit of God does not bring that individual under conviction, what hope do you think you have? That's why God says, ask me and I will give you. Lift him up in prayer. Intercede on their behalf. If a person does not know Christ, then how do you expect that individual to know the Word of God? How do you expect them to know to do right? That's our job. So you and I come to God's throne of grace simply because God has convicted us through his Holy Spirit. And I say simply there, not to make it unimportant, but it's the most important simplicity you will ever find in your existence. The Lord says, I convict you of your sin. Now, he says, here's your way out. My son, not only am I going to convict you of your sin, I'm going to tell you that I'm more than willing to pay for your crimes. I'm more than willing to give my own son's life for you. Now, under that conviction, we come to what we know as the altar of prayer. Well, let's get something straight. Many people will say, I've got to go to church to go to the altar. I want to remind you, Christians, I want you to understand, God says that this earth is his footstool. His footstool. Therefore, if I'm going to fall at the feet of God by the power of his Son, Jesus Christ, I am on earth, and no matter where I bend the knee, that is an altar before Almighty God. It's an altar that he himself put together, and he himself says, I'm the creator. I created you. I love you. Therefore, when I said yes to Jesus, when you say yes to Jesus, when anybody says yes to Jesus, the altar happens to be that footstool of Almighty God. I go to his feet to beg forgiveness. Anywhere. I don't care about the denomination. I care about the relation. Our relationship to Jesus Christ. Now, I have done this. You have done that. You've asked God for forgiveness. He's forgiven you. And we call it, we've been born again. We've been saved. We've been born from above. We've been born anew. I don't care how we say it. We belong to Jesus when we say yes. When we admit we're in a sinful state and we say yes. Then what happens? God says, as soon as you do this, I give you eternal life. So, Christian, hear me here. As a Christian, I've been given eternal life. Well, what about everybody else? Will they die? They just go ahead and they die and they're gone? That's not what God says. The lost, those who refuse to believe, will live eternally, but they will be in the process of forever dying but never able to die. That's being trapped in this body. Does anybody want to be trapped in this body? As you get older, folks, that answer comes very quickly. As you try to get off from kneeling, you all can't hear it. But there's some popping and cracking going on up here. But you see, God said, I want to look at you. And God says, I understand sin, and I love you. I love you so much, but you're eternally mine. That's why you warn the world, do not mess with one of God's children. We warn the world, you don't mess with these babies. You'll see moms all over the place with babies. And when you look at them, understand something. When you bring that child to God's house, I got news for you, folks. Jesus is with you. When I see the sparkling eyes of a child and watch that smile of a child, I'm watching the heart of God and the awesome responsibility that you and I have. So I'm saved. Let's say you're saved. Then what? Okay. You know, that's pretty tough. I grew up in a generation. And in that generation, as I was growing up, I knew and was taught the importance of being saved. Now, he's saved. I've followed Christ in baptism in the Green River. Scared a big fish was going to suck me right down. But I stepped out in the Green River and was baptized. Jesus knew me before that. Jesus looked at me and he saw all the things I was going to do wrong in my future. Saw them. And you know what he said? I love you. Jesus said, I'm going to die for you anyway. What your responsibility is, Larry, is to believe. Believe me. Believe me. I love you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So therefore, I've got the promise of eternal life, but I'm stuck in this body, in this world. What am I going to do? I need to understand that I must complete the world part of my eternal life. God says, pay attention to where you are and look to me. There is a world part for my eternity. You and I are stuck in it right now. If you're sitting out there alive, you and I are stuck in it. We're in the world. But it's the part of my everlasting eternal life. So what do? Okay, I'm saved, that's it. Well, I didn't put you there just for that. I put you there to begin your journey for eternity. The question arises within us. How do I do what God has called me to do? And what is it? Listen to this. God said, all I want you to do is to do your best. I want you to do your best. Do we do our best for God, or do we do our best for the worldly living part and put God out of the way? God's not even second in a lot of people's lives. This, that, and the other. Well, I put my family first, preacher. If you want to put your family first, you better put God first. Because you cannot protect your family. He can. And he says, I want you to do your best. Well, listen to 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Present myself before God as one approved. Christ saved me. The presentation is made. Jesus has already introduced me to his Father and my Father, our God in heaven. And he looks at us and says, now, I'm going to go to work with you. I want you to listen to me, Jesus says, because I want to do for you what the world can never, ever do. He said, I want you to trust me. I'm not telling you, Larry, that you won't fall along the way. I'm not telling you, Larry, that the world is not going to come on you. I'm telling you this. You do the best you can. You do what you can. Wouldn't you love to just go up and be able to get everybody saved? The Apostle Paul said, I would that everybody would have what I did. Saying, Paul, you have lost your mind. And Paul is saying, I wished everybody was nuts then, except for these chains. He was under arrest for praising God. He's under arrest. And what does he do? Praises God under arrest. And he was told, Paul, your great learning has driven you mad. Well, he was mad about Jesus. Yeah, he was. And he sounded like he was losing it. If you listen to many of us Baptist and Pentecostal preachers, it looks like we've already lost it. It sounds like, who are they getting so loud with? The Holy Spirit speaks in many different ways. He speaks all languages. Do you know that the Holy Spirit of Almighty God speaks grouch? That's right. If you're a grouch, God knows the language he needs to use on you. God says, I know. Why wouldn't he know us? He's the one who'd put us together. He says that. But he says, I want you to understand what you need to be doing. Do what you can. Okay, so we know Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, the one that Jesus raised from the tomb, right? We know that story. Lazarus died. Where were you? Had you been here, our brother would not have died. The closest of friends to Jesus. So he goes there to the house. Mary brings in this bottle of ointment or perfume or whatever you want to call it in those days. And she opens it and she pours it on Jesus' head. Here's what happened. All of those self-righteous apostles, you listen to me. This isn't the only time that Jesus chewed them out. Because they had a tendency and a desire to deal with God's love from their human mind. Your mind is not capable of understanding the agape love, God's ultimate love. Your mind cannot understand it. But what did they do? The scripture says they became indignant with Mary. They were even to the point of yelling at her. That happened quite a bit. What have you done? You know what Jesus did? And you will see this throughout scripture also. Jesus became indignant. Don't you be yelling at one of my children. And he looked at them and he says, be silent. According to which translation, a couple of them will say, shut up. And she said, and he says about Mary, she has done a good thing, beautiful thing. She has done what she could. She's done the best she can. And then he looks at them, why weren't you doing what she was doing? She knows that I'm going to have to go to the cross and go to that tomb. And she's anointing me for that burial. What have you boys done? Leave her alone. So Hal focuses on the power of Christ. I do what I can. You do what you can. The next is what? What do I do? If I do what I can, what do I do with what I can? Let's read it. Serve others. I serve Christ by serving others. What can you give God that he doesn't already have? You can give the love that he's given you to someone who doesn't know him. You can pay attention and help him out. God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to serve others. Did you notice? He didn't say to us, I want you to be served by others. I don't care who the preacher is. You don't serve the preacher. A preacher better be feeding you well. He better be listening to God and feeding that spiritual food properly. And to serve others. Not serve myself. You can't please God by serving yourself. Becoming selfish with life. Oh, I'm saved. My family's saved. We've got good earnings. We've got all we need. So now we've decided to eat, drink, and be merry. Well, be careful. Because tomorrow is coming. There will be a tomorrow. That tomorrow may be today. But it's coming. And God said, I want to see your heart. I'm not interested in your tongue telling me something, Larry. I want to see your heart serve others. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift. That means each one of us have at least one. Many multiple gifts. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Lord, be grateful unto me. Have mercy, Lord. Are you gracious to others? Do you have mercy on others? Or is this all about me, me, me? I am walking, you are walking and talking in the earth side of our eternal life. Well, why don't I ever just completely feel good? Why don't I feel then that ultimate peace? Well, Christian, you're homesick. You're not home yet. You see, we're always looking because we're not home yet. This world is not my home. We are just passing through. God says to us, as you go through, I'm paying attention to what you do. Do you love? Do you have mercy? If I forgive others, then I will be forgiven as I have forgiven others. Well, you know, I really, really had rather, Lord, you skip the part of how I do. And let's just stay with yours. How am I going to understand forgiveness if I do not understand that God says to me, if you forgive others, I forgive you. I like being forgiven. Now, there are some others that I will not get around, nor should I. But I hold no ill will towards any. You'll rot on that stuff. You think that would even be of God? Here's the final. Come to completion. Now, I'm afraid that many of us Christians have read this scripture and accepted it in a very wrong way. God says, rightly divide my word. Listen, here's what it means to come to completion. Fighting, finishing, and being faithful. Mr. Apostle Paul, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Do you know what many people believe that says? Paul won the race. No, he didn't. He never even said he was winning the race. What did he say? I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I finished my course. I believe is the old English. I finished the course. When you have runners, cross country, all of these marathons, have you ever noticed how everybody's cheering when a winner comes through? Have you ever noticed the cheering that goes on when the last one comes through? Because so many didn't finish the race. That last one may be limping, dragging, but his determination is to finish the race. What does it take to finish the race right here on earth, on our earthly part of eternal life? It takes nothing less than being faithful to God's word. When I am faithful to God's word, then I must realize that I must serve others. That I'm going to finish. Now, I might be bloody, tore up, and gasping for air, but Paul said, finish. Now, Paul himself said, I am not telling you all that I reach perfection. Of course, it's obvious from studying Paul's background, I can't imagine who would have thought that he had. Because you see, that same grouchy Saul that became Paul remained the same grouchy personality. He was just saved. He was a saved grouch. Many of us don't understand that, don't we? We're saved. Finish the course. But that'll come from God being faithful to you. Lord, I want to be faithful to you. So what do I need to do to be faithful? He said, I need to rightly divide His word. I need to preach His truth. So many preachers I have found that fall short of crossing that line is because they thought that God had told them to be perfect. And they're so down on themselves because they could not achieve it. Well, let me tell you, you're not going to be perfect, folks. I hate to break it to you, and gentlemen, I do not care what that sweet little fox sitting beside you says. You are not perfect, and God looks to that heart. He looks to my future. How many times do you have somebody point out your faults and failures of the past? You know what God says? I'm counting you as already here. Therefore, I see your future. So, when I know that Jesus loves me to die for me, and He says to me, in me you have a future. Do I understand totally what that means? No. No. And for the people who tell you they really know all this stuff, for one thing, you need to change where you're going to church, because they don't. Intellect in a human being so often becomes rejection of the Spirit of Christ. Well, you know, I'm just too intelligent to believe all those stories like that. Well, I appreciate the fact that I am a dumb hillbilly from Kentucky. Not only do I believe, I know in my heart that it's right. So therefore, knowing Jesus in my heart, He says, finish the course, Larry. Do we really think? Do I think my cancer is worse than anybody else's or my wife's cancer? No. Finish the course. Lord, I might be limping. Finish the course. Look at our veterans. No legs. Finishing the course. The cheering that goes on. And what's the crowd? Who is the crowd's looking at? Most of the time, the winners are ones that everybody guessed would win. But it's of those last that come across the finish line. Well, I finished that 2-mile marathon in 5.5 hours. What was the key? Finished. Finished. I, as a Christian, am going to walk across that finish line. Now, I may be dragging my legs, the bones cracking, but I got news for you. I know Jesus. And Jesus has introduced me to my Father in heaven. And I really just find it very difficult down here waiting. But this is the world part of my eternal life. Finish it in the name of Jesus.